Florida, the 13th. The Fury Theory starts right now.
The Wandering Fury Theory Podcast, brought to you by EFB Advocacy.
I'm joined by Amanda Mackey, who's running for the 13th District in the Sunshine State, Florida. She's running against a guy named Charlie Crist. Charlie used to run, used to be governor of Florida, used to be a Republican, then became an independent, and now he's in Nancy Pelosi's inner circle. Amanda Mackey, welcome to the Fury Theory.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
So what's up with Charlie Crist? He's now Nancy Pelosi's top advisor. And, you know, that's a pretty Republican district you live in.
Yeah, well, the theory is that, you know, Charlie Crist has, you know, been in every party. And I always say he just hasn't been in the Whig party. But, you know, aside from that, he is in the DCCC leadership, and that leadership, the political arm of the Democratic Party that is helping to get people like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and radicals elected to Congress. And so he sure has switched his stripes from being the once Republican governor of the state. So, you know, it's interesting to see. Certainly for me, he's the reason that I'm running, because he's not our voice and he doesn't represent our values. And someone who, you know, from the very beginning just went impeachment, 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 doesn't represent the values and the voice of the people of the 13th district. And so just to say it for your viewers, where Pinellas County is, it's just outside of Tampa. You know, if you've been to Tampa, you've been to the beaches, you've probably been to Pinellas County. We have the number one beach in America, Clearwater Beach. And it's a very, very densely populated district. One out of every 10 is a veteran. So just outside of the home to SOCOM and CENTCOM at MacDill Air Force Base. And so we have a, you know, large veteran population, large senior population, large spring breaker population, tourist population.
Right.
And that's a little bit about the district.
So my brother at the end or the beginning of the COVID crisis went down to Clearwater because he wanted to get away from Illinois, where he's from. And it was, you know, he really enjoyed it, but he had to leave because of COVID-19, which, you know, I think is probably, I think that the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, did a really good job, probably better than almost any other governor in handling COVID-19. What are your thoughts on how DeSantis did?
Absolutely, John. You're totally right about that. I mean, our governor has done a phenomenal job. And I really think it goes back to just the philosophical differences between Republicans and Democrats. You have Ron DeSantis, our governor, you have our president, who is, you know, they are just looking at opportunities to open everything back up. And, you know, compare that to Governor Whitmer of Michigan, compare that to Gavin Newsom of California. There's a reason why people are flocking from those shut-in states to places like Florida and Texas, because we're back open. You know, I always say Governor DeSantis was one of the last to close and first to open, and we've done just fine. You know, I think that, you know, again, that philosophical difference, we need to get our economy back going, is what makes people want to support governors and lawmakers who want to open things back up. I think California is a great example of that. We saw in the election 2 weeks ago, Katie Hill's seat, Democrat held seat, that we flipped by double digits. I don't know Los Angeles to be a Republican stronghold.
Right,
we flipped it by double digits because people are tired of what their governor's doing, and certainly Nancy Pelosi on the national level. And people want to be able to have their civil liberties, go out, run their businesses, go to work, put their kids back in camps and schools. And so that's what we're doing in Florida. That's what our governors have done a great job of. And that's why people are coming here.
So my personal belief is people want freedom and can exhibit personal responsibility. I think that that's one of the things that Republicans really believe in. They believe in freedom and personal responsibility. And I think that that's what the governor of Florida, and I think that's what you're fighting for, right?
Absolutely. I mean, people talk about it all the time. You know, I go door to door, I go door knocking, and yeah, it's 95 degrees, but you know, people want to be heard. And you know, when I knock on doors and I ask people, you know, what are your thoughts? It's like, we need to get back to work. We need to get our economy going. And if you think about how strong our economy was just prior to COVID, we flattened it like a pancake because, you know, that's what we did. And, you know, now really focusing on that, especially in a district like mine, where 50% of the workers work for a small business. So you really have people that want to go back to work. They want to get things going again, and they want leadership that's going to pursue that, not leadership that's going to stymie it and just push for, you know, we got to stay home. We got to wait. We got to wait until there's a vaccine. I mean, there are people that do that because they have to. They're compromised in one way, and that's understandable. But I always say, you know, during COVID, Publix did $1 billion in revenue, which means people can go shop for their produce. They can shop for their, you know, their essentials. They can surely go to the beach. They can surely go out with a mask on and go to, you know, wherever they need to go to get what they need. And they can surely vote in person.
I was talking to my local parish priest, and I was like, you know, Father, you need to get churches open again because people need to go. I want to go to mass. People want to go back to church. They want to pray. They want to do their thing. They want to connect with people. And personally, Zoom doesn't really do it for me. But if people can go to Walmart, why can't they go to church? I don't understand that. And I know that, you know, we named some things essential, but, you know, there's a lot of things that are essential that the Democrats don't think are essential. And I think that church and school are among those things.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting that you should say that because so at my church, what they did is they made every other pew one service. So the first pew would be the 9 a.m. service. The second one would be 11. So you could only sit in that row at 9, and then, you know, it's disinfected, it's clean. And then at 11 o'clock, you sit in the next row. So we're smart enough. Again, Republican difference between the Democrats. We can be creative. We can find ways around it so that we can resume our lives again. And so we've had church now for 3 weeks. And yeah, it's not, you know, filled like it normally is. There's some people that, you know, can't come for, you know, reasons, you know, they might be compromised, whatever it is, but people who can would like to. And that's very much, you know, what people here seem to want to do. And I just think it's interesting that during this time of, you know, what is happening in our country right now, it's very sad to see the riots, the, you know, just the unrest in our cities. You know, people are allowed to do that, but people don't think that, you know, government officials don't think that people should be able to go to church. And, you know, I just wish that people would, you know, focus on that a little bit. It's okay to protest, but it's not okay to open our churches back up.
Yeah. Well, that's a different subject for a different time, but I agree with you 100%. And, you know, we're in Washington, D.C. here, and we've had a lot of different things going on here. I believe that Washington can be a great place, but I don't know why someone would leave Clearwater to come to Washington. What are your thoughts about why you want to get elected and come to Washington, D.C.?
Sure. So, you know, I mean, Charlie Crist is not our voice. Charlie Crist is not, you know, the public servant that we need. And John, you know this, we had Bill Young representing this district for over 4 decades. And if you think of a true heart of a public servant, it is epitomized in Bill Young, and what he and his staff did for this community is just incredible. I always say that Charlie Crist has been in office for 3 decades. You know, he's been campaigning since I was 9 years old. I'm 41. And, you know, there isn't really anything that anyone can point to that Charlie has done. And, you know, Charlie is someone who has for every 4 years run for something better. Right, and that's a career politician. That's a creature of, you know, the Washington swamp and the Tallahassee swamp. And what did President Trump say? You know, we need to drain the swamp. And who better than someone like myself who worked on Capitol Hill, who knows I don't need orientation. I know the process. I know how it works. But also I'm someone who is running on term limits. I truly believe that we have the greatest democracy in the world, the oldest and greatest. And we need to restore that. We need to restore that confidence in our system for people. And it's going to take people who are not career politicians, who want to go there, who want to fight for the cause and do the right thing for the country. So you ask why I want to do this. There are many reasons, but Charlie Crist is really one of them, to have a voice. You know, Charlie Crist gets paid $174,000 a year, and he is not representing our voice. If someone goes there and just pushes for impeachment, 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 they're not representing us. And so to have someone like myself who understands the process be there and really work on the issues that matter to people. But, you know, reopening our economy, reboot this economy is what I hear the most. Healthcare costs. Those two go hand in hand with a district where 50% of the people work for a small business. Healthcare and small business issues are critically important. As I said, one in every 10 is a veteran, making sure that Bay Pines here and the veterans programs that are available are strong and are, you know, helping our veterans. You know, they served us and now it's time that we serve them.
And you know, Bill Young was a great one for the veterans. I remember watching him, you know, really go out of his way to make sure that veterans were taken care of. He would go to all the different military hospitals in the area and visit the troops when they're coming back from Iraq. He took it all very personally. And I think he was doing it not just because he felt a personal connection, but because he wanted to represent his district. And talk to me, you've got some veterans that have been really supportive of your efforts. Could you talk to me about that?
Sure. I mean, to your point about Bill Young, yes, I'm an incredible public servant, truly. And people still to this day talk about, you know, the one thing he did in casework that made the difference for them. And that's really what it is about being a public servant. So I just kicked off on Memorial Day, my Veterans for Mackey, and I have Matt Tito, who is you know, a Marine Corps officer. He served two tours of duty in Mosul, and he has an incredible background, but more importantly, he's supporting me, and he is the person who people are going to and saying, hey, I have this issue, or I want to talk to you about this. And I just want veterans to know how important they are in this district and how important they will be when I serve them in Congress. Their issues matter, and we want to make sure that they're fully heard. You know, I felt very honored. I got a phone call about a week ago from an Air Force veteran. He said, me and some of my veteran friends, we're now in the private sector, but we want to talk to you about, you know, some of the issues and, you know, the issues that are pertaining to whether it's veterans and other issues. And I said, well, why don't we just get together and talk about it? We can do that now. So let's do that. And we had this great gathering last night, and it's awesome to be able to hear from veterans, to be able to sit down and talk with them about the issues that matter, because it's not just veteran issues. They have other things that affect them and that are important to them, but being heard is very important. And that's your job as a public servant, is to listen. And I was just so honored to have, you know, a veteran call me, invite me to his home, invite his veteran friends, and for us to talk about the issues. So that's going to be a priority, of course. Like I said, one out of every 10 in Pinellas County is a veteran.
So, you know, it's veterans care deeply about this country. They care deeply about making sure that our democracy thrives. You know, man, we live in Washington, D.C., obviously, and we see every day how unpopular the president is with the Washington set, the political set. I like Trump. I'm kind of an outlier here. People think I'm crazy, but because I think he's trying to take a hammer to the political establishment and trying to open things up for the American people again. And I think that includes veterans. I think he does pretty well with veterans. How does Trump play in the 13th District of Florida?
President Trump has done an incredible job. And, you know, I always say he's been the most truthful president. I mean, everything he has set out to, you know, he campaigned on, he's done. Like it or not, I always tell people he won by a landslide. Don't forget that. He won by a landslide, and he campaigned on, you know, draining the swamp, building the wall, securing our borders. And you, he's done all of those things, even when he's had to go against his own party. You've got to respect that in leadership, because, you know, it's not often that you see people campaign and follow through on their campaign platforms. And he has certainly done that. And that's why I always say, you know, Mark Thiessen wrote about this, you know, he's the most truthful president. What he said, he's doing. He is extremely popular here. And, you know, we've knocked on thousands of doors at this point, me personally. I ask people, and sometimes people just say, I even had a woman start crying about how they're treating President Trump. Right. They are not treating him well. They're not being fair to him. And, you know, there's something about him that really people feel very, they want to protect him because they feel like he's been so wronged by the media. And, you know, and so people say, well, the polls show this and the polls show that. I'm like, testimonials are very different than polls.
Right.
Testimonials will always outweigh a poll, in my opinion. And when you go door to door and you talk to people, you're in someone's living room, you're in front of, you know, someone's house, they will talk to you in a way that's going to be very different than the way they talk to a pollster. And so I will just say he's very popular here. And if you didn't notice, we had a huge boat parade Memorial Day weekend. Do you remember a boat parade ever for a president?
No.
There you go.
All right, right, right. So you have a great personal story. You are the daughter of immigrants. The immigrant story from your parents is quite amazing, and they've been extremely successful. How does that inspire you as you want to be even more of a public servant?
So I was an immigrant too. My family and I came, I was 11 months old, so very young, but we escaped when the revolution happened in Iran. And so 1979 happens, and my parents, they have to escape. They're 26 years old, and they legally come to the United States. My parents, they didn't have two nickels to rub together, but my mother delivered yellow pages to put my father through school to get his education. He becomes a surgeon. He's a surgeon to this day. And it's just the story of hard work. I always say this, the only thing that distinguishes you in America, it's not your pedigree, it's not your last name, it's your work ethic and your drive and desire to work hard. You can accomplish whatever you want, because I did. I set out to be in politics, and I remember my father saying, oh, your last name's not Kennedy. No one's going to roll out the red carpet for you. And I said, yeah, but I'm going to work hard. And he just kind of laughed. But I did. I worked on the Bush campaign. Ultimately, I was appointed to the Pentagon just weeks after 9/11. I'm a native Farsi speaker. And from there, I went on to become a lawyer. I went to the Catholic University of America. Became a lawyer, worked on Capitol Hill doing healthcare and veterans issues, advising members of Congress on those issues for a decade. And lastly, I was a partner in one of the largest law firms in the world before I was 40. And, I just say that because it's the story of hard work. And when you have someone like me who works hard and has demonstrated that, that's exactly what I'll be doing for the people of the 13th district. And, the story is, it's inspiring. It's a story of hard work, but we all have an American dream story. And I think that, what my parents went through, and certainly we struggled, but we never once thought of, getting government assistance or working, not working to contribute back. We waited our turn. We became citizens when it was our turn. We didn't break laws. Those things are all really relevant to the discussion at hand right now when we're talking about immigration. And I just think that, what we demonstrated was, again, just the ability to work hard, not taking government assistance, doing it on your own, doing it the hard way, but doing it the right way.
Yeah, the thing that you really represent is the best case, the best of America, the best hopes of America, the idea that you can work in the private economy, you can achieve your dreams. You have some members of the Democratic Party, Omar, Tlaib, Ocasio-Cortez, who are kind of the dystopian view of America, that America is a bad place. Immigrants come here and we need to completely tear down our society, install a socialist republic, and that will be a better way for people to succeed. I think what we have here is two different visions of what is better for America. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say they were a driving factor in my decision to leave my job and run for Congress. Being a female from that part of the world, having been born there, I'm just listening to these women. First of all, they're freshmen. I mean, John, you and I both know, no one knows freshmen's names. Right. Yet everyone knows these three because Nancy Pelosi has given them this wide latitude to and free rein to bring bills like boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel to the House floor. They don't have an understanding of the geopolitical issues of the Middle East. And that's a threat. That's a threat to us. It's a threat to our allies in the Middle East. And I think that having a counterpunch to them, having someone who can go after them, fight fire with fire, is really an important thing. And, every time, Leader McCarthy or the president says anything, they play the victim card.
Right.
Misogynist, racist, they can't play that with me. You can't do that. And that's why it's so powerful to have someone who can be the counterpunch to them, who can go after them and really go toe-to-toe with them on everything that they say, whether it's Ilhan in the Judiciary Committee. I'll tell you about legal immigration. It can be done. You know, and so it's a different, it's a totally different dynamic when you have someone like myself who has just a very different background than your, you know, most of the GOP members and can really punch back. It's just a really unique dynamic we could have.
I think it's really inspiring. My hope is that you're able to really articulate this vision in November and then come to Washington and do battle. I am worried about the future of the country, more than worried than I've ever been, given the voices that come from those in the Democratic Party that really do want to tear America down and impose a vision that is not what America is about. It's not about, you know, ethnic tribes going at each other. It's about everyone coming together and enjoying free enterprise and really embracing the American dream. And I think that that is exactly what you're going to be fighting for when you come up to Washington. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the Fury Theory podcast. Really appreciate it and really wish you the best of luck in the coming months.
Thank you. And if your viewers would like to help, always appreciate contributions. Amanda Mackey, MAKKI.com. Thank you so much. We have a real opportunity for a pickup. We're just 17 seats away. We can do this. And this is one of the seats that is targeted for a pickup. The Republican Party recognizes this. That's why I have the endorsements of Leader McCarthy and Steve Scalise. And they want to flip this seat. We can do this. I've raised the money. I've got the endorsements. And we just need to make sure this happens in November.
And let's just, you know, put a final point on this. Charlie Crist should retire.
I'm going to help him do that.
You are going to help him do that. And that's awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Amanda, and have a beautiful weekend and take care of yourself.
Thank you, John.